You're probably familiar with it. I just want to draw out two things this morning that I think are important for us. The first is that Jesus knew who he was in God. And that was how he was able to carry on, despite what was happening around him, all the way to the cross. He knew what was going to happen. He knew where he was going. That's the first thing. Jesus knew who he was, and that enabled him to do what he did. The second point is that Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and then he told them to do the same for one another. So I'm going to take those two points. The first one, Jesus knew who he was. He also knew who Judas was. Judas was his friend. He was one of the chosen 12. But Jesus knew that he was about to betray him in a few hours' time later on that evening. He knew, and we know that because later on he actually pointed him out to the Apostle John. In John 13, verse 21, it says, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them was reclining next to him, and Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." So he did. He said, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It's the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Jesus knew that Judas was about to betray him to his enemies. And yet, he included Judas in the invitation to his final meal with his 12 closest friends, and he included him in the foot washing. Because Jesus knew who he was and what he was called to do, he carried on right to the end. It says in verse 3 of this chapter, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Jesus has all the authority and power of God. It is his. Over all things, nothing is left out of that. He's God. God the Son. And yet, he submits to the humiliation and suffering of crucifixion for you and me. The Almighty, all-powerful, all-glorious God submits to crucifixion that we might be forgiven and saved. That's the depth of God's love. It's unimaginable. Jesus could have walked away. He could have gone off and hidden in a corner and felt sorry for himself. Instead, he chose to carry on showing love to his disciples. They were very confused. They were disappointed. They needed reassurance. So Jesus was there for them. And then he gets up from the table, wraps a towel around his waist, and begins washing their feet. He's continuing with God's plan to save the world. This is a challenge for you and me. The challenge to show love to others when maybe we don't feel like it. Maybe it's easier to look the other way. It's our choice instead to carry on and be part of what God's doing. What is God doing? What is he asking us to do? He's asking us to support one another, to be there for one another, along with the rest of God's people. Jesus knew who he was in God. Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him, but he was able to carry on because he knew who he was in God. And that's why, That's why it's so important that as followers of Jesus, we know who we are. Otherwise, we will just stumble on our own and get more and more lost. We need to know who we are. You'll recall probably 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation, a new person. If anyone becomes a Christian, they become a new person, a brand new person inside. It says the old has gone, the new is here. The old is gone. See, that's the mistakes I make. A new life has begun. We've been reborn. If you're a Christian, you're still in the world, but you're not of the world. And that makes life uncomfortable. If your life is comfortable, ask yourself the question, how can it be? I don't belong here. We easily get distracted. We easily get drawn aside to live the same as everybody else, the way we did before we knew Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. That's exactly what keeps us away from doing the will of God, because we can't hear what he's saying. We're not listening. We're too involved in what's going on around us, and we've forgotten who we are. We're God's children. We're chosen. It's not an accident. It's not, oh yes, God loves everybody. It's he has chosen you, if you're a believer this morning, and he's chosen me as a believer this morning. We've been adopted. How about that? I've often thought about this business of adoption. We don't get to choose our parents, but adopted children do. They are chosen by a couple who offer themselves, and the child says, yes, I'll have you as my parents. Isn't that wonderful? That's exactly what God has done for us. He said, I want you in my family. And all we have to do is say, yes, we want to be in your family. We want to be like you. We want to live your ways. We want to be part of your family. Jesus is our brother, and he's always there for us. The Son of God is the brother to all God's children. We're God's children. He's our brother. He's our role model. And unlike other brothers, he's not going to wander off. He'll always be there for us. Not only that, but we're not alone, even now, because on the day that we put our trust in Jesus, his Holy Spirit comes to live in us, to be with us, to be our companion, our helper. We're never alone. Whatever comes, we can call out to him and say, help. I need help. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this. I can't handle this. I think I'm going down. I've had enough. What do we know? We need to know who we are. We are people who have been forgiven. We are people whose sins God chooses to forget. I think that's amazing. I can't forget most of the things I've done wrong in the past. They bother me. They pile guilt on me. They pile remorse and regret. But as soon as I hand them over to God, he says, your sins are forgiven, and I'm not going to remember them anymore. It's as if you never did them. You're my child. I love you. You're perfect in my eyes. One day Jesus will return. He promised to come back. He said, my Father's house has many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. He was talking to his disciples, but these words are the same for us. And I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. There's so much in the Bible that we can know about who we are in Christ. The problem is we tend to forget, especially in the hard times. And we need to be reminded. Right now, you may be feeling overwhelmed by all that's happening around us. I certainly am. I've almost stopped watching the news. I did at one point because it was getting on top of me. But now things are happening so quickly, I want to know what's happening. So I'm watching again, and it's as crazy as ever. The world's in turmoil, out of control. War, climate change, economic crises, inequality, injustice. Now, none of that is new, actually. This has been the state of the world all through history. It's just that it goes up and down, gets worse and then a bit better, and then worse and a bit better. It goes on and on. The difference now is it's right on our doorstep. But knowing who we are in Jesus makes all the difference, because we know who we are. And if we forget that, as I said just now, we end up battling on alone or just giving up. And there's so much in the Bible about who we are in God. That's why it's important to know what it says. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. And when we read the scripture, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and reminds us of who we are. God is with us. We know he is with us because he has promised to be with us, and he's placed his Holy Spirit in us. That is God himself. Do you realize when those words in the scripture that says we are, what is it, the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's not a picture. That's a reality if you're a believer. God lives in you. That's wherever you go, you can't escape from him. And the thoughts keep coming back. That's not the right thing to do. I want you to do that. That was not the right thing to say. Don't say what's in your mind. Yet constantly, the Holy Spirit is there helping us to recognize temptation and to say no to it. God himself is there as your constant companion. Wherever we go, whatever happens, he's always there. He's like a silent partner, but he's not really silent. Because he's at work in our minds, changing the way we think so that we become more like him. He's changing us. I look back over, what is it now, over 50 years as a Christian. And I look back at some of the things I used to do before I became a Christian and even after I become a Christian. And I'm ashamed. But people who know me say, you've changed. My wife, 48 years I think it is, we've been married. And she says, you've changed, I can see the difference. And I'm reassured by that because I can't see the difference. But she sees it. I've still got a long way to go, there's no doubt about that. But God is changing us. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. In other words, God is there in the good and in the bad. And extraordinarily, through the circumstances of our lives, God is changing us. He's giving us opportunities to choose how we respond. And as we choose to go his way, our minds gradually change until it becomes our natural reaction to do things. Somebody offends us and annoys us, and we would have punched them in the face, but now we don't. Why is that? Because our minds are changing. You know, I hear swear words rising in my head at times when things get, you know, a bit stressful, but they don't come out my mouth anymore. Why not? Because it feels horrible when that word comes into my head. I feel sick. It still comes, but I feel sick, so I don't say it. Those are minor examples. You may be able to think of all sorts of times when, if you think about it, the Holy Spirit has been saying, what would Jesus do in this situation? Would he do what you've just done? Would he do what you're thinking of doing? What would he do? Why not do that? There's a constant conversation. It's just, as I said, we get a bit deaf. We forget what's going on around us. God is slowly transforming us. One day, according to the Bible, we will be spotless, perfect, without sin, just as Jesus is. Did you know that's God's plan for you? God's plan for you is that you become like Jesus. All right? And I know he hasn't finished in any of us yet, not only me, but one day we will be perfect. One day the devil and all his angels will be defeated and rendered powerless forever. One day all things in heaven on earth will be made new, and there'll be an end to all sadness, pain, and sorrow. God has a plan. He's had that plan since before the world began, before the universe was created. And as I said, meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is a constant presence in our lives, guiding and empowering us to live the Christian life. Another thing we know is that God wants us to wash one another's feet. This is the second thing. We need to know who we are, but we need to learn to wash one another's feet. Now, in Jesus' day, foot washing was a filthy, smelly job, and it was reserved for slaves. Imagine if for a moment, if it was your job to go to your neighbor and wash their bathroom every day, including the toilet, and they've got galloping diarrhea. Yeah, I can see people going, oh, no. I actually admire intensely nurses and carers who do that very job every day, cleaning up behind their clients, behind their patients, behind their family members, helping one another in any way they need. That's what washing one another's feet means. It means not only doing the things we like doing for others. I mean, maybe you like mowing lawns, so you mow your neighbor's lawn. Brilliant. But you like it. It's different than washing their toilet, isn't it? That would be something you might step back from. I just am amazed at the things people do for other people. It's fantastic. But what washing one another's feet means is doing the things we really don't like doing, even for ourselves. Doing it for other people. Helping one another. So what sort of things can we do for one another? Well, I can't answer that for you. Only you can. We may not know right now, but we need to watch out for the needs of others. This is the Holy Spirit's work also. We bump into somebody we'd rather not meet. That wasn't an accident. Jesus is waiting to see how you respond. And he's going to make a positive suggestion. Instead of walking the other way, just go and say hello and see what happens. I'm there with you. So many situations, you know. You break something at home and you swear and it's all over the floor. And I don't know what you're supposed to learn from that, except to be more careful next time, perhaps. I don't know. But the point is, there's a chance not to let anger just overwhelm you, but to say, oh, well, it was only a pot. It was only my tea. I'll make something else. You know. Or your husband cheats on you. And you find out through gossip. Now, you can extend that scenario as far as you like. How do you respond in that? Well, thankfully, I don't know. It's never happened to me. It may have happened to some of you. I can't come into your circumstances. I can't offer suggestions. All I know is that if your faith is in Jesus, he's there with you in that situation. And he's making positive suggestions to help you through it. God doesn't take us out of horrible circumstances, but he promises absolutely to be with us and to bring us through and out the other side. And when we emerge, there'll be some benefit, some difference, something that has happened to us along the way, even if it's only an experience that then we can share with somebody else who's going through the same thing. Maybe that's why it happens to us. I don't know. I don't have the mind of God, but I do know that he works for the good of those who love him in all things that happen to us. It's a scary thing, I know. Oh, I'll come back to that in a moment. I said just now, I don't know how we work out what we need to do for other people, but if you've been following Lexio 365, which is the Bible app that a lot of people use on a morning, there's a meditation every day. And every day there's this prayer. And it's simply this: Father, enable me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, enable me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Holy Spirit, enable me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen. I wonder which of those three requests resonates the most with you. For me, it's the middle one. When I first read it, I couldn't say it. Jesus, enable me to give myself away to others. Being kind to everyone. I can try and be kind, yes. But giving myself away, what does it mean? Well, it helps me understand what it means to wash one another's feet. Washing one another's feet is about giving ourselves away to other people. And it challenges me. It challenges me because I'm very self-centered. And that prayer scares me because it makes me imagine what it means to give myself away, and I don't want to do that. But Jesus did it. He gave himself away. The Almighty God, with all power, all glory, all majesty, who everyone owed allegiance to, he put it on one side, and he came and became a little baby. He lived for 30 odd years, grew up like anybody would, and then face the cross. Now, you know, you can't give yourself away much more than that. Jesus himself said, greater love has no man, except he lays down his life for his friend. Well, what about if you lay your life down for your enemy? That's giving yourself away. When you give something away, it means literally that. You don't hold on to it. You don't tell the person you've given it to how to use it or what to do with it. They may throw it in the bin straight away. That's up to them. If we give something away, we give it away completely. And it's the same when we give ourselves away. We can't have strings attached. Oh, well, I'll do that as long as, you know, we put conditions on, don't we? All the time. I forgive you as long as you don't do it again. There's no as long as with Jesus. It's, I'll do it. We give ourselves away. It's a struggle. But I'm trying to pray this prayer. And I want to mean it. Washing one another's feet also means forgiving one another. I was coming to that. Jesus came to Simon Peter and he said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't realize what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. No, said Peter, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part in me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean and you're clean, though not every one of you. And Jesus was saying, Peter, unless you let me wash you, you cannot be my disciple. So typically Peter says, well, wash my hands and feet as well. It's interesting, in the Bible, the forgiveness of sin is often likened to washing. It's part of the symbolism of baptism. You know, you're immersed in water, but only once. And that's what Jesus was saying. There's two kinds of washing. There's a full body wash, you know, a complete shower or a bath. And then there's just washing your feet and hands. And Peter asked Jesus to wash him all over. But Jesus says, you don't need that. Those who've had a bath, he said, need only wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. What's he talking about? What he's saying is, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you confess your sins to Jesus, that's a one-off thing. It's a deal. It's done. God's forgiveness is once and for all. It covers everything. Sins you've committed, sins you're committing today, and the ones to follow on in the days to come. It's all dealt with. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Remember? The old is gone, the new is here. It's done. We're already saved. You don't need to be saved again. But the Apostle John in his letter says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. What? I thought I'd been forgiven. He's talking about these sins that we go on committing. Our salvation is not endangered, but our sins still keep popping up. All our sins, past, present, and future, were dealt with by Jesus on the cross. But we can't go on sinning as if there was no tomorrow. And Jesus, in effect, is likening it to people's feet. When you went walking in those days, you wore open sandals, and the roads were filthy dirty. There was no tarmac, no pavements, well, a little bit in the Roman cities, but it was dusty and dirty, and your feet got dirty. And if you just got a nice new carpet like we have, you don't want to walk dirt all over it. So why would you come into God's presence with dirty feet? Well, not dirty feet, but unconfessed sin. That's what we're talking about. We need to repent. We've got to confess our sins and we cleanse them. It's like a spiritual foot wash. When you confess your sins for the first time, and it's a done deal. But when we sin again, we need to own up and turn back to God again. So we do that every day. Lord, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry I did that. Please forgive me. And he says, great, I'm glad you dealt with that, because it was a bit of a problem, wasn't it? It was a problem between you and me, because you did that and you haven't said sorry. As soon as we say sorry, he says, oh, it's like the prodigal son. He just puts his arms around us and says, that's all right, kid. I love you. Nothing's changed. But the other thing is, Jesus said, we've got to wash one another's feet, which means forgiving one another's sins, particularly when they sin against us. In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And we remember that God's forgiveness was unconditional, and so ours has to be too. And don't be choosy about who you forgive. Remember, Jesus also forgave Judas. He also washed his feet. We don't know what Judas's response to that was. We don't know what happened to him afterwards. All we know is that Jesus's arms were open to him as well as us. And it's up to us. So to sum up, Jesus knew who he was, and that made all the difference. And we need to know who we are in Christ, and the Bible tells us who we are. That's why it's so important to read it. And secondly, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and he wants us to wash one another's feet by helping and serving one another and forgiving one another. I want just to finish by reminding us all of that prayer. It might be a good time to pray that prayer. I'm not going to ask you to pray it out loud. I thought about that, but that's not fair. I don't want you saying words that so far you don't yet mean. But in our hearts, perhaps you could repeat it after me, just for yourself. Father, enable me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, enable me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, enable me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say.